What's up, everyone? Welcome to Ya 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 Podcast Episode 16 with me, Smash Pop.
I'm Jeremy, and this is a podcast where Jason and I, we get together, we hang out, we talk about stuff, and we spread those good vibes.
Okay, so welcome to the episode, and I just want to say that we are not late, right, for this episode?
I don't think so. I think compared to the delay that happened in between the previous episodes, we are actually doing pretty well. Like, we have improved. It's like we went through, you know, when you work for people and they put you under performance review, we're doing decently.
Meet expectation.
Meet expectation.
Not above, not below.
Never mind. We are what they call quiet quitting. Have you heard that term yet?
Not yet.
No, quiet quitting is a new thing.
What's
right?
that?
So there was a little bit of this controversy online where they said, like, people who just go to work and do what is expected of them and go home after, you are quietly quitting. It's like you are just there to do the work and go home. Like, you, in your head, you're not working and you're quitting.
You don't want to excel.
Ah, right. Uh-huh. But then, and then that got a lot of blowback because people were like, but that's what work's all about. You go in, you do your shit, then you go home. Like, what for you want to do more?
Agree. But what I do is I usually just go to work and don't do work and then go home.
Wow. Like a true Malaysian. Okay, speaking of us, welcome back, by the way. Like, it feels like every time I do an episode of the podcast with you, it's like you just fly to the US and come back.
No lah, we don't do one episode every 3 months. Last time was like 3 months ago, right? The US trip.
Yeah, man.
So anyway, yeah, I'm back.
You're back, yes. So for those of
just
you-
just a few days ago.
Who missed out, Jason went back to America, went back to Apple Park. He balik kampung.
Correct.
To check out the launch of the new iPhones.
Correct, and some other devices.
Okay, okay. So now we need, now that we have you back, right?
Come on. Why not, instead of me telling you all the stories, right? You give me questions, then I ask you.
Okay.
Hey, then I answer you.
Oh, wow. Okay, okay. What is it like getting me to become interview? Let me get my interviewing brain on. Okay, okay.
So you can ask anything about the trip, the flight, the products, or anything.
Okay, let's just first start with, I mean, we talked about like your journey the last time, so we're not going too deeply into that.
Okay.
But the second time back, did you still feel the same sense of amazement? or are you like, ayah?
The sense of amazement has decreased, definitely.
Right.
Because half of the things there, I've already seen.
Right.
You know, and especially this time around, we are not able to enter Apple Park.
Mm-hmm.
So that big chunk of excitement is not there.
Right.
So, like everything else, like for example, arriving at the main entrance, you know, entering the guardhouse, walking the path to Steve Jobs Theater. All these are exciting, but I've already experienced it before.
Right.
Hence, it's not as like, whoa, like that, you know. But I was still like a bit like kanchong, excited because being there feels good.
Right.
You know, being there around all these people who are also excited about the new gadgets feels good. Then entering the Steve Jobs Theater is something new to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, that part of excitement is like very, very high.
Right.
Yeah. So that's. Hope that answers your questions about my excitement in the Apple Store.
So like you've done in the Apple Store. It's the Apple Store. Can you actually buy iPhones there if you want?
Cannot.
Can.
So right at the entrance, there's this building called Apple Park Visitor Center.
Right.
It's basically an Apple Store. So actually Apple Store is correct. It's basically an Apple Store, which is very big and nice. That's where people buy the Apple t-shirts.
Right.
Right. But they also have all the other Apple stuff for you to buy. Like the iMacs, you know, the iPhones, iPads, whatever. It's basically like a normal Apple Store, but it's just right outside the entrance for everyone to visit.
So if you got any like warranty claim, you just go behind.
Correct. You can just go there and say, hey, my iPhone rosak. correct like that.
Okay. So what would you say that this trip was a better trip than the last one? Or like more space, more time to breathe, I guess?
A better trip in the sense that I am able to expect what is going to happen. Hence, I am more prepared mentally. And also physically, you know, mentally it's like, okay, I know the flow is like this, you know, I know after this, I need to do this. So I need to prepare myself to rush and, you know, shoot whatever content that I need to shoot. And I know where it is and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's get into the nitty gritty lah.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Obviously like the new iPhones, man. iPhone 14.
Correct.
iPhone 14, iPhone 14 Max, iPhone 14 Pro, iPhone
Plus,
Pro.
Plus, not Max.
Oh, Plus. Okay, Plus. So like, what is the, how do you feel overall about this new, the new lineup of phones?
So basically, the iPhone 14 and the 14 Plus, I can say like they are like the basic version of the new iPhones. It's just that it's separated into two different sizes now. So if you want a bigger phone, you can get the Plus.
And it's really just the screen size.
It's just the size difference.
Okay.
The screen size. Then it basically looks exactly like the iPhone 13.
Okay.
Right? No difference at all, actually. It's just the internal change. Mm-hmm. And then the 14 Pro and Pro Max are like the ones that you should look at because they have a new chip, which is the A16 Bionic. They also have the new camera sensor, which is a 48 megapixel sensor. The 14 and the 14 Plus is still using the same 12 megapixels. Mm-hmm. But of course, the internals and the sensors are better now. Mm-hmm. Other than that, of course, everyone's talking about the Dynamic Island, which is only available on the 14 Pro and Pro Max because the notch has been decreased and it's now like a pill shape size.
Okay. Mm. So this Dynamic Island, right?
Yep.
How much of a game changer is it in your opinion? Like, is it worth the upgrade? Because like, if you, let's say, for example, you're running like a 13 Pro.
Yep.
And like, is it worth like, oh, 14 Pro, okay, like, this is worth it.
I would say the Dynamic Island is part of the reason why you should upgrade. Okay. Other than, you know, like the better camera, brighter screen, you know, and stuff like that. But to me, the Dynamic Island is a very attractive feature.
Okay.
It's not something that we must have.
All right.
But it's good to have. It's like something we never know we needed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so your experience using it was like, were you surprised at how much it improved? Like, I guess the quality of life, right? When you like use
it. So, okay, before I share that, I just want to say that it's amazing how Apple is able to turn a hardware, I would say hardware flaw, not flaw, like imperfection.
Right.
Because there's a camera right in the middle of the screen, right? So how do you fix it to make it an interesting thing?
Yeah.
So I feel Apple was able to make it a feature that everyone feels differently now. Mm-hmm. That they will stare at the little black thing on top and then they'll be like, wow, this thing good. You know, I need this black thing now.
Right.
You know, instead of saying that, why is this black thing in my screen blocking my view?
Right. Suddenly there's this weird thing.
Yeah. So other than that, I just feel that it saves us a lot of time to figure out what's happening in the background. Mm. Or to figure out on the status of a certain app, you know? So because the easiest example is when we set a timer, right? Previously, when you set a timer for say 10 minutes, after you set it, halfway you want to check. Mm. How do you check?
You have to go back to the app or swipe down.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now with the Dynamic Island, you don't have to do anything. It's already there.
Oh, it's in your face, but not in your face.
Correct. It's beside the camera,
right?
You know, like, and then when you're playing a music, you know, back then you want to check what is current playing.
Yeah.
What will you do?
Swipe.
Correct. No need. Now it's just there.
Okay. And it's not distracting at all.
Distracting at all. I just feel it's a very convenient piece of thing to let us see things that are running in the background. Mm-hmm. Like for example, another thing that I really like is when it is able to show directions.
Okay.
Like we are navigating somewhere.
Yeah.
Without opening the app.
Without opening the Maps app.
The Maps app. We will be able to see on top there on the Dynamic Island, like how many meters away we should turn left or right.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's already there.
Wow.
Yeah. So because of that, we can do other things. Mm. We don't have to open the Map app just to see whether we need to turn left or right.
Very cool. You know?
Yeah.
So in terms of like the phone obviously is looking really good, like I have to say. Then also there's some improvements to kind of like the stabilization and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, okay, to be honest, this thing is not new, right? A lot of Android phones in the market now already have this. Mm-hmm. So basically it's not the basic optical OIS feature. Mm. It's basically optical OIS, maybe with some electronic stabilization,
right?
Whereby it is using the hardware to help you to stabilize, mm-hmm. and then it will use the software to also further stabilize.
Like in using internal gyro information.
And then software algorithm to help you to stabilize. And if you notice the samples, the videos are very cropped in. Right? Yeah. So basically, the general physics is the more stable you want, you need to crop in more so that there's more space for it to go around.
Yep.
You know, for the middle part of the square to go around.
Yep.
So I guess they didn't really mention this, but people should know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even if you don't know, never mind, because when you use it, you'll realize that. How come every time when I use action mode, the video is a little bit more zoom?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, but then it's a good feature lah. Like if you don't mind the little bit of zoom, the little bit of crop, you will get very stabilized videos. Like when iPhone says, this is a very stabilized video, you will trust it because iPhone can do video very well.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. As for the prices for this, so the prices are the same in America.
Yes.
But like in Malaysia, it's a little bit more expensive, right?
Correct, because of the currency exchange. I think back then it was like 4, now it's like 4.5, 4.8.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like Apple will probably say like, hey, not our fault. We never increase price, you know. Just that your country like that.
So if our currency improves, will the prices become
better? Lo?
Will it become better?
Huh.
Hopefully lah. Huh? Go Malaysia, please be stronger. I also want to buy iPhone. and then the other device that was really like popular, really like really interesting was the new Apple Watches.
Correct.
Right, they had the
Apple Watch Ultra is like the one that everyone wants. Mm. Everyone wants to talk about it now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like totally put the Series 8 at the back. Like nobody cares.
Actually, let's just start about like the Series 8 a little bit first. Mm. So in terms of an improvement for the Series 8, what changed from the previous version? Like what's the new
one? The Series 8 basically now has a little bit more features. Like you can have this, what you call that? The crash detection.
Oh, like when you fall down, then the flight will send SOS.
Or whatever, you know. Ah. And then basically like the screen is better, you know, probably lasts longer, whatever.
And then as well, you can like track your period.
Yes, but at the same time, it is not like a feature tied to the iPhone, the Series 8 only. You know, like it's just a software feature.
Right.
Yeah, but then again, it can now track temperature. The temperature one is different because it has a separate temperature sensor on the watch.
Right.
So previously, if you have 7 or 6, you won't have this feature because there's no such sensor.
Right.
Yeah, but because of this sensor, it is able to track like ovulation more efficiently.
Because your body temperature changes.
You know, because then back then, if you don't have, then it's not so precise.
Right. So now you wear Apple Watch, you can tell whether you got fever or not lah.
Can.
Oh, that's great for getting MC.
Correct.
Okay, now let's go into the Ultra. The big kahuna. This Ultra is big, man. I saw pictures, it looks huge.
Yeah, it's a 49mm watch.
So you got the chance to put it on. Did it feel big, did you feel like, oh my God, this watch is too big even for me?
It's big, but because it's a square watch, so 49 might be like the, you know, from one corner to another corner.
Right.
So it's different from how you usually measure it with a circular watch.
Yeah.
Right, because circular watch, if it's 49, means the whole thing is 49, you know.
Yeah.
This one is just diagonally 49.
Yeah.
Hence, it is still okay. And coming from a person who is into watches, I can say that the lugs are basically not there. So there's no lugs.
No lug.
So from the strap all the way to the watch is basically like just zero distance. Hence, although it's 49, which is just the screen and a little bit more on the side, which are including like the bezel, like you instantly, the strap will come down from your wrist. You know, so you can still wear it, but definitely you will see the difference in size lah.
How thick is the watch? I always see the obviously everybody talks about the diameter, right? But in terms of thickness, is it substantially thicker than
It's similar to the current Apple Watch.
Mm.
Yeah. Not much thicker.
So you won't feel like you're gonna like bang into things so much. Not any more than before, lah.
Not really. And also because the case is titanium. And the case also raised a little bit on the edges.
Mm.
So it kind of protects as a fire glass.
Fire glass.
Correct. Like back then, not back then, like any other Apple Watch, they don't have anything to protect on the side.
Okay.
Like this is the only watch that has a little bit of like edges to protect.
So let's talk a bit about the Ultra. What makes the Ultra aside from the size?
It lasts a lot longer. Like per charge is like 36 hours.
The normal Apple Watch is
like 24? The normal Apple Watch is about like 18 or full day. You call it full day, you know. Depends how long is your full day, you know. And then they also have this new feature, which is like low power mode.
Okay.
So if you switch it on, it will last longer. So maybe about 60 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then other than that, because of the GPS and stuff like that, right, it's able to track your hike trails.
And this is a feature that's not available in the other Apple Watches.
To be honest, I think also got.
but now the screen bigger, you can see your trail better.
Correct. And because it's like tougher, like you can really bring it to go hike.
So the intention for this watch is to really for those who are like outdoors people. Like
correct. Adventurers or divers or swimmers. Because now it can also measure depth.
Oh, you can see how deep you go underwater.
Correct. So it can go up to 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of watches like Dive Watch also supports like 100 meters, which is like also 10 bars, right?
Yep.
So of course like submariners, oh, you get like 300 meters.
300, 400 meters, correct.
Yeah, but then nobody will dive until so much one lah.
Correct.
People usually dive until like what? 30 meters
30 deep, meters deep, correct.
You know? So 100 meters is sufficient and it is because like according to my diver friends, they usually use this app called Oceanic.
Okay.
To measure their dive and stuff like that. So Oceanic, right, is now already pre-installed on the watch.
Wow.
So you already have the app, you know, and then the watch also have this depth gauge whereby you get to see how deep you are on the screen as you go down.
Mm.
So you will see that the vertical ruler, like you can go like that, which is quite nice to see, lah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And because other Apple Watches, they are not able to go so deep.
Okay.
So hence you need the Ultra in order to do all these things.
So then obviously, then it sounds like this the Apple Watch Ultra is gunning for like that diver market where people say like, don't have to buy a dive computer. You get dive computers from other brands and all that kind of stuff, right? So now Apple is saying like, you just get this.
Correct. Like back then you would wear a Garmin, you know, to go dive, to go hike.
Yeah.
But now you just wear an Apple Watch.
Smart.
Huh.
Quite smart. I like this. So when are we going to get the chance to see you wearing an Apple Watch Ultra?
I don't know. Whenever that happens lah.
Yeah. So overall, how do you feel about this year's like series of products compared to like the previous years?
I would feel that it's like a little bit of improvements and refinements.
Mm.
I was expecting like the iPhones to look different.
Right.
But they really very daring by launching exact same looking phone, you know, just different color.
Because they're always a little bit different, right? Before, yeah. Before.
Like this time it's like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like the 14 looks exactly like the 13.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, but you also announced some very nice features. So I'm like, okay also, you know, but to a point I kind of understand where they are coming from.
Mm.
Like, why do you have to purposely change the design?
If it works. Yeah.
You know, and you also want your iPhones to look like an iPhone.
Mm.
Because if you change it every year, then every year it looks different. And where's the signature iPhone look?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel that Android phones are always changing design because they need to keep looking fresh to attract users because there are so many Android brands and phones out there.
Mm.
But when it comes to iPhone, there's only iPhone.
Mm.
So when you are the only player using iOS, do you need to change?
You don't really.
Because if you don't buy this phone, you got no other phones to buy.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like if you look at Volkswagen, their car also never really changed design.
Yep.
Their Golf is always like Golf.
Mm.
Their Polo is always like Polo.
Yeah.
You know? So, like that. Okay. I also feel it's probably like the same mindset.
So, okay, so what is your personal favorite color out of the new like iPhone colors?
Deep purple.
Nice for that one.
Yeah, wow.
Really?
Yeah, wow.
Like iPhones do purple very well, you know. And it's
iPhones do colors very well.
But there's something about like their purple phone releases always seem particularly special, you know.
I also think.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like green and blue is like okay lor. Common lor.
Mm.
But when you do purple, it's like quite nice for.
Okay, I hope you get a purple.
Yeah, I also hope. Or else other colors okay, I don't mind. In the end, we just put a casing on it. But
buy a purple case.
Okay, now I have my chance to ask you back. So from this launch, what do you feel? What kind of impressions you have, or what do you think attract you the most?
Honestly, the Apple Watch Ultra is the most exciting thing for me from this launch. Just generally as a watch person, but also the previous versions of the Apple Watches that came out have always just felt, oh, it's just an Apple Watch. It's just an Apple Watch, right? And whatever improvements were a bit marginal, as you expect, you know, it runs better, better battery time or new features. But now is an Apple Watch that does something all the other Apple Watches cannot do.
Correct.
And it is an unexpected thing. Like, you don't expect people to take a smartwatch to go diving.
Correct.
Like, you know what I mean? And much less an Apple, because the Apple lineup of products is as hardy as they are not like tools, I feel like. Like you don't go purposely buying an Apple Watch to go into the jungle.
Correct.
Or to the ocean. But now you can. And that's just interesting to me, because then it just seems like they're branching out into a little bit more adventure. And I think it's really, really cool. Right?
But coming from a watch person, like a mechanical watch person, what do you think? Like, will it interfere with someone's watch collection?
So, interestingly enough, right? Like, I looked at the Apple Watch Ultra, and I think this is the first time I ever felt like maybe I wanted to get like an Apple Watch. Like, I've never, like, Apple Watches to me is like, yeah, right? Like, I can do it all on my phone, right? But now with the Apple Watch, there's one thing I cannot do on my phone. I cannot take it diving.
Yeah.
And that is just such a small, I mean, it's a big deal to execute, but it's a small change, and I was like, so compelling for me. Right? But now the thing is, like, because with things like dive computers and all that kind of stuff, once you buy a dive comm, you use it for a few years. So with the Apple Watch Ultra, and this is where we have to see in the future, I guess, will you be compelled to feel like you need to upgrade every year? Or, you know, or like, will one Ultra be good to last you like a couple of years? With that kind of life cycle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that, I mean, with most Apple products, it can probably last you a few years. But if you itchy, the next year you change though.
Actually, what I really mean is like Apple is going to tempt you next year, and you're going to feel like, maybe I just buy a new Ultra 2.
It's like, now we can dive 200 meters.
And you're like, oh, I need this.
The screen is like 50 millimeters big, you know?
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
So I'm quite, I was like, it really just, for me, it was all about that.
So
Apple Watch.
Will you use like a, say, dive watch mechanical to go dive, or an Apple Watch Ultra now?
To be fair, right? I've never actually worn a mechanical dive watch to dive. I've always worn a dive comm.
Okay. Oh, really?
So, yeah. I've always gotten like a big ass, like Suunto.
Oh.
Like bright yellow color.
Then all the submariners all do what?
For starters, the submariner is like if you buy it from a grey market dealer, 100 over K, you want to take that to go diving.
But it's meant to go diving, man.
It's meant to, but like, a lot, like you buy Lamborghini, you're meant to go drive fast, but everybody start in traffic jam together in KL. It's just nice to have, all right? Just to know that in case you were in the ocean, you'll be able to.
With your Rolex or whatever, right?
A lot of these, okay, so I honestly feel like the Apple Watch has a greater chance of seeing like seawater than any dive watch that I buy.
Any dive watch, lah.
Yeah, correct. Because, yeah.
Like even my RZE, 2,000 ringgit. Also, I probably won't wear it to dive. I'm like, seawater, wow.
Yeah, lor.
Later, the phone karat, the watch karat, how? But can dive, wow.
There we go, right? It's supposed to do it, but you...
Then it's like, but... When I'm in the sea, very dark, war, and then my loom no more, then how to see time?
There we go.
I need a screen.
And here's what I think is the...
And then suddenly you sit down there at Apple Store. Welcome, would you like the Apple Watch Ultra?
That is the next launch gambit, okay? Right? And what I find very interesting is I think a lot of these like digital tools... will get a greater chance of being used for what their purpose is. Because I would argue that like an Apple Watch, if barring, if it does what it's supposed to do, will be more accurate than any mechanical like dive watch. Like your ability to track time, there is no loss of time, everything is on the dot.
Correct.
You know, and if you don't run out of battery, your brightness, it will never go dim on you. You will be able to see everything at every possible time.
Correct.
Right? And then if you get lost in the middle of the ocean, maybe the GPS can find you there.
True, because the submariners got no GPS. And you can't talk to satellites.
Absolutely right, right? So in that sense, an Apple Watch just makes a lot more, like, if it does everything it's supposed to do,
yeah,
and does it well, I think it's a no-brainer. Correct. Everything else is just like, oh, it's nice to have. It's a bit of vanity, but...
Okay, so let me ask you now. Mm. Mechanical watches are just for nice.
Mechanical watches are really just about to bring you happiness. And like, I honestly don't know if anybody...
Okay, so let me ask you now another question.
Oh, no.
Would you be more excited to receive a BlackBerry 58 now or an Apple Watch Ultra?
You cannot ask me this question! BlackBerry 58? Like, we had this...
Just answer the question lah. Like, I give you two now. Which one you want to take?
BlackBerry 58.
Oh!
Yeah. One is like... One is almost like... I don't even know if I actually like the watch anymore. I talk about this watch so much. I want it so much. I don't actually know if I like it anymore. Just because I've been talking about it. I just need to have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Ultra is just fascinating as a tool. Mm. Right? And ideally, I'll be able to own both lah. Just saying, Jason, in case you ever have an extra BlackBerry 58 or an Ultra.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. So, we can be expecting you to do like reviews and unboxings for these.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what's the... Like, I know you don't know specifically yet, but normally how long from a launch to when you get the chance to...
To when Malaysia launches the same thing. Maybe... A month later, I mean, based on history, usually Malaysia will get all this stuff a month after the US or Singapore, I think. Because it started off really late. Like, I mean, a few years ago, we could probably only get it at the end of November.
Yeah.
And then slowly, it was like a little bit earlier, like early November. And then I think the previous 1-2 years, we managed to get like the iPhones end of October. If I remember correctly. So I'm just hoping that maybe end of October we will get.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very exciting, man.
Yeah.
And then when the phone comes up, we can go take picture with the new phone.
Correct.
Oh, I like it. I'm so excited for this. I have to say, I feel like I'm more excited than you are. Because like I live through your life a little bit when it comes to these like iPhone, Apple devices.
Yeah. I can't wait to touch the dynamic island.
Again. You touched it before.
Correct.
Try to touch it again.
Correct. Like properly use it.
You are the first Malaysian YouTuber to be in touch with her.
Yes, correct.
Wow. How does that feel?
You know, during the trip, right, I was like, okay, let's hope there's no other YouTubers in Malaysia. Then when I'm there, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm the only YouTuber. Okay, I know already what my video title is going to be.
First Malaysian YouTuber
to touch the iPhone 14.
That's badass, man.
I mean, it's kind of real. I think it's real. Like,
I mean, you were there at the launch. If you don't see any other YouTuber,
I don't see any Malaysian YouTubers lah. So can use this title. Can.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Even if there was, we don't know them. So not proven.
Correct.
Oh, so cool, man. So cool. It must have been really stressful making content on the day itself, though. Because I know the way you work and there's a lot of things that you do. And obviously the level of quality of the work has to be of a certain nature. So did you feel like, were you under pressure to...
I was under pressure. I was struggling the whole time. But struggle also have to make something out, you know? Then after managed to shoot everything, because we were only given like quite a short time to be there.
How long?
To shoot. I think about 1.5 hours.
Shared with all the other
shared
members.
Shared with all the, you know, 500,000 people trying to grab all these devices to also shoot their content. So after queuing, you know, rushing to the next counter and queue again for the next device, everything, then we have to leave like within like 1.5 hours or two, maybe max. So I just did what I can do, lor. You know, I brought all my cameras and tripods. In the end, I never use. Because why? Because no time to set a tripod. No time to set a camera. In the end, what's the best camera to use? It's the one in your pocket, which is the iPhone.
Wow. Actually, it's kind of strange that like, you know, you take the old iPhone to shoot the new iPhone. It's like...
It's like passing the baton like that, right?
Right? The last picture and video that your iPhone will take will be a picture and video of your new iPhone.
Yeah, like maybe like a picture of me holding the new iPhone after I unbox. And then that's it. Switch off, take the SIM card up, put it into the new one.
Yeah, man. Oh, very cool stuff, man. Very, very cool stuff.
Cool. So anything happened recently for you?
Nothing as exciting as you, man. Like on my end, it was
No lah, I mean other things lah.
No. So like, one thing I have, so like, you know how a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we both got COVID, right?
Yes.
And what I found is that my-
You got COVID again.
No, I didn't get COVID again. Okay. My voice has changed.
Oh.
Because I do voiceovers. And then recently I did a voiceover where I was played a sample of my own voice. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, we like this kind of read. Can you do it for this line? So basically give us this voice, but without script. Which happens, sometimes you get references, right? So by this time, the reference is me. So to me, it's like, yeah, if I'm the reference, it should be the easy thing to pull off, right?
Yeah.
But it was hard because I had trouble getting the right like pitch. Tone, voice.
Okay.
And even the breathing was not I remembered it what to be. So I do feel like my voice has changed since the COVID days. And
so changed to what?
I think now I speak, it feels generally like I speak at a lower register than I used to speak.
Mm. And I also feel so.
You think so as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you mention it, then when I think back, I'm like, yeah. I also feel that I speak lower a bit now, a little bit lower pitch, like 0.5% lower.
Yeah.
I feel like, because when I watch back my YouTube videos, I realize that, yes, I still sound quite high pitch in my videos, but at the same time, like, I can be like, hey.
It's a bit different, right?
Yeah. Like yeah, you know, like not yeah, you know,
And it's hard, it's hard to get back to that.
Correct.
You have to like put effort.
Correct.
That's cool.
Like when I talk normal, not is if you notice, it's a little bit like
you can feel the rumble a bit more in your chest.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what I've been feeling as well, and I find it such a strange thing, and it's really long COVID, man. I feel like because nobody knows the long term effects of COVID, how it could change you. And I suspect that this is one of the things. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get
but
it back.
But this kind of voice is not a bad one. Like, it's not a bad voice.
It's not a bad voice. I just have to, like, change all my voiceover samples so people know that, like, you cannot hire me for this kind of reads anymore because, like, that was pre-COVID Jeremy. Post-COVID Jeremy now, like, hit puberty round two, voice deeper.
Correct.
So, yeah. But that was tough, man. Like, the breathing and everything was tricky. But, well, you know, it worked out. And now I just have to work. Now I just wonder if, like, I need to work on it, like the breathing. I need to do breathing exercise. I need to learn how to breathe again or not.
Oh.
Like take deep breath, 7 second inhale, hold for 3 seconds, 7 second exhale.
No,
okay.
We just breathe like normal.
But you know, if I had an Apple Ultra, I could time myself properly.
So anyway, we've reached the end of our show. Hope you enjoyed. And if you really like our show, please follow us. Subscribe to our channel on Spotify and also on Apple Podcasts. And if you like us, follow us on Instagram. I'm Smashpop.
I'm Jerses.
So see you guys in the next episode, which will be next week or maybe next month.
Depending on what happens.
Correct. Okay, see you guys. Bye.